proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast. We continue our study with Hebrews chapter 9, and the author's reference to how Jesus Christ, quote, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, unquote. This statement referred to the atonement wrought by the Savior on the cross. From the perspective of the writer of Hebrews, this event already transpired. By dying on the cross, Jesus Christ put the provisions of the new covenant into effect. By these provisions, God would no longer write his laws on stone tablets, as in the old covenant, but upon the hearts of men. How did the death of the Savior put away sin? Classical Greek writers used the noun rendered put away, athetasis, to indicate rejection. The author of Hebrews had already used athetasis in the 7th chapter of his epistle to denote the abolition of a given arrangement. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul described how the Savior put away sin. Jesus Christ, quote, abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, unquote. As a result of the Savior's atonement, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, quote, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, unquote. Of course, Jesus Christ did not entirely do away with sin. He did, however, destroy its power over the human race by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary to atone for the sins of the world. Thus, according to Romans chapter 6, quote, our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The author of Hebrews concluded the last portion of the 9th chapter with a statement that has generated a degree of controversy. Quote, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, unquote. Two questions could arise. Did the first part of that phrase denote a doctrinal statement, namely that God requires that life on earth must end by death? Or did that statement simply observe that everybody dies sometime? Now, exceptions do exist to the assertion that all men must die. Neither Enoch nor Elijah ever experienced physical death. Enoch was, quote, translated that he should not see death. Elijah, quote, went up by a whirlwind into heaven, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 2. Jesus Christ will meet his church in the air, a process described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, an event that is called the rapture. According to that passage in 1 Thessalonians, some believers will never experience the pangs of death. Paul described what would transpire during the rapture. Quote, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Unquote. Note that Paul made a distinction between the dead in Christ and those who were alive and remain. The latter group will never experience physical death. The author of Hebrews did not intend to present a philosophical perspective about the inevitability of death. Just as God appointed human beings to die only once, generally, God decreed that his Son also would die once. Understanding that should comfort believers in the light of what the author of Hebrews wrote in the 7th chapter of Epistle, namely that Jesus Christ, quote, ever liveth to make intercession for them, unquote. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible lesson.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.